step with the word. Amen. Marching with the word and the spirit. Amen. How many are marching in his presence, in his word? If you're marching in his word, you can't be out of step, because the Holy Spirit will keep you in step. If you're marching in his word, turn to your neighbor and just greet him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and just say to him, oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in. You're awesome in this place, in the key of C. And we'll sing this before our brother comes for a responsive reading. We serve an awesome God this morning. Amen. Let's just invite his presence in. And I hope you come expecting to just be blessed this morning. Whatever need you have, he's the need maker, the need meter this morning. And so he knows all of our needs. You are awesome in this place. Mighty God, you are awesome in this place. Abba Father, you are worthy of our praise. Oh, and to you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place. Mighty God, oh, just worship him this morning. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Oh, you are awesome in this place. Abba Father, always worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our praise. Oh, to you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place. Mighty, oh, sing it to him with all your heart this morning. Oh, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. Oh, you are awesome in this place. Abba Father, you are worthy of our praise. Oh, to you our lives we raise. For you are awesome in this place. My, let's sing it to him once more. Oh, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. And you are awesome in this place. Abba Father, for you are worthy of all praise. And to you our lives we raise. For you are awesome in this place, mighty God.
Amen. Thank him for being here with us. And thank us for being able to come out to bless him. There's so much wickedness going on in this world, but the devil just doing his job to conquer the whole world if he can. But the more we yield to God, the less he'll have control of us. So we just thank him for being in our hearts and in our lives. We're going to read this morning from Psalms 119, verses 1 through 14. Not 119, 19. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're ever grateful and thank you, Lord, for being so kind and merciful unto us. Lord, you bring us to rough places, Lord, that we know not how to come through, know not the trouble that we were facing, but Lord, you stepped in and brought us through. Lord, we ask you to bless our hearts and souls this morning. Lord, bless our bodies, Lord, whatever that be troubling, Lord, that you would take it away. We ask you to bless the word that we hear today. They will become a revelation and a part of our lives. Lord, for we love you, and we pray that we love each other, Lord, as you did. For you gave your life upon Calvary that we could be free, Father. So we pray one for another always. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 14. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork.
The day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge.
There is no speech, nor language, where their voice is not heard.
Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun.
Which is a bridegroom cometh out of the chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race.
If his going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are sure and righteous altogether.
More we desire than gold, yea, than fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb.
Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward.
Who can understand its errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults.
Keep back thy servant also from propitious sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And God bless you. You may be seated.
Amen. One of my favorite chapters, and the things I like about that chapter is the song that come from it, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. I don't know if you've ever tried this before. I let my kids do it one time. If you take a glass of milk and a spoonful of honey, drink that milk and then eat that honey. Because there's a land flowing with milk and honey. And when you put those two together, oh my goodness, you're living in the overflow then. It's good. It tastes good. And that's the way the word of the Lord is to the heart when he comes. He comes with the sweetness of his spirit, and we just enjoy and praise him for it. Amen. Brother Michael, would you come this morning and take up a tithe and offering? Amen. Let's sing that chorus, that song, Draw Me, Lord, and I'll Come Running After Thee. This song, when I first heard it years ago, there's a verse in the Song of Solomon. It says, draw me, and we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers, and we will be glad and rejoice. Amen.
Oh, draw me. Draw me.
Amen. I just see.
Yeah. All hail King Jesus.
I'm sorry. It's E flat. I'm sorry.
Amen. All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. King of kings, he's Lord. Been born again. child of God. Let's all stand this morning. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned. Oh, what perfect love that is this morning. You rescue me so I can stand and say, I am a child of God. Oh, I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Amen, you believe that?
Oh, I am a child of God. Oh, I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. No longer a slave to fear. We live in fear a lot of times when we really shouldn't have to. But, you know, fear is what the devil uses. Remember, Brother Ernie always told us what fear means? False evidence appearing real. That's what fear is. So it's just false evidence appearing real, because there's no fear in being a Christian. There's no fear in being a child of God. Amen. We're going to make some announcements. If you'll pull it up on the screen, we've got a busy weekend coming up next weekend. We'll have communion will be today after second service, communion and foot washing. Brother Aaron is down in Lincolnton preaching. Now, and remember, Tuesday night, November the 7th, this coming Tuesday is when we're having church. Not Wednesday, Tuesday. Brother Chris Long will be here from Arizona on Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, regular service. All right? Also, Sister Frieda's memorial service is going to be Friday, November the 10th. Now, I have these on a sheet of paper at the back door. Just get one per family if you need to. If you like me, you can't remember it, so I got me one to use, too. So, but Friday, November the 10th at 5:30, all right, at Rockdale Community Church, 2455 Old Salem Road, Conyers, Georgia. It's about an hour and a half from here. It's going to be a celebration of her life. There's going to be singing. I don't think it's going to be really informal. I'm going to be doing the eulogy sometime in the middle of the service. But then if you have something you'd like to say. But I need to know right now how many people are planning to attend from the church. You raise them high. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. All right, 16 from us. Reason we need to know is because we're doing the food, and it's so far down there, and it's on a Friday at 5:30. We're going to try to get the food and then take it down there, but we kind of need to know how many, because we're going to get some stuff from Sonny's, and we're going to cook some stuff ourselves. So if you have anything that you want to give toward that, like some money, give it to Sister Regina, Sister June, and they will buy the stuff. Instead of you having to pick something and carry it down there or not be able to go, I know it's a Friday afternoon, 5:30, but that's the way they wanted it. So we go by what the family wants. So at 5:30, there's the address. That will be this coming Friday. See Sister June, Sister Regina, and give them some money, and that way we'll go get it from wherever we decide to get it from and carry it down there, and you won't have to cook it, all right? So remember that, and just remember Sister Frieda's son, Joseph. He's kind of the only one left, and he's a young man, and he's having a pretty rough time. So let's just remember that. Remember Brother Paul also, and they should all be there, and these flowers were given by Brother Paul's family. And then there's an arrangement downstairs that was given by Brother Paul's former pastor, Brother Don Hoffman, there in Minnesota. So also, the next day, Brother Ebenezer and Sister Yvonne will have a house dedication. That's the address. Rolled up a little bit so they can see it, I guess. At 3 o'clock Saturday, November the 11th, that's the next day, at 3 o'clock, we're going to, that's a, I don't like to say a tradition, but it's something that we do here. If you move into a new house and you want that thing dedicated to the Lord, we'll all get into every room. We'll take prayer cloths. We'll get into every room of the house and pray that the Lord will. We're dedicating the house. All right. And what comes in and what goes out. So we're going to dedicate that. 3 o'clock Saturday. That'll be next Saturday. 3177 Heritage Glen Drive. That is in Gainesville, right up here about 15 miles from here. So that's not too far. But we want to do that. Now, how many of you are going to try to go? I'm definitely going to go. We need enough to where we can fill some rooms up. So just show up. All right. Now, on the 12th, we're done with that. On the 12th, which is next Sunday, we'll be having our Thanksgiving dinner here at the church. Y'all bring sides and dessert, and I'll do the turkey and the ham. So I got all that. We've already got it bought. We'll only have one service next Sunday. Yeah, sign up for what you're going to bring downstairs in the on the refrigerator.
Today.
Today. All right. So Brother Mike Hantus will be with us that Sunday morning to preach for us. Only one service. After we finish that service, we will go downstairs and have our Thanksgiving dinner and fellowship. On the 15th, Brother Bob will be speaking for us. I'll be gone. Yeah, if I can get out of here, I'll go. We're going to go to Illinois for a little hunting trip. So Rob will be preaching on the 15th. On the 19th, Brother Tim Cross will be here to preach for us. And then Brother Luis will be preaching now this November the 21st on a Tuesday. This will be two Tuesdays from the 7th. We'll have church on Tuesday. That's Thanksgiving week. We've been doing it for the past few years, and it's worked out really good. So that way you can get out of town on Wednesday or go visit, whatever you need to do. That'll be on Tuesday the 21st. Brother Luis will be speaking for us there. And also, Brother Luis and them will be leaving that Saturday.
Friday the 24th,
Brother Luis will be leaving. So say again, if you have anything to give him, to help him, he sure would appreciate it. And he's going to the Honduras, Nicaragua, sorry. And Brother Aaron's going with him. And also Brother Michael from
Honduras.
That's what I said. Honduras. And then they'll be back sometime right before Christmas. So we sure appreciate them going. Brother Christian from the Ohio church, they are going also. He is going. So I have an entourage going down there, and we're looking for good time. And then the brother's going to come back a little bit later, and he's going to be doing Saturday night service for our watch night, and then watch night will be on Sunday. No church on Sunday till 8 o'clock. We'll have watch night service at 8 o'clock on Sunday so y'all can feel like you do when you don't come to church. Go visit the denominational church. We went to Ron Spencer's church one time, and I know y'all, some of you don't know this, but they have church on Saturday night and Sunday night. Not Sunday morning, Sunday night, because they're all farmers, and they try to get their work done. So we went to this restaurant, and here come all the – we come in with all of our just regular clothes on. I said, so this is how it feels to be a sinner. I'd sit here and watch the church folks come in from the Baptist church and eat at the restaurant. So, but have church anytime you want to, right? But we're going to have it today. Communion tonight, this afternoon. Just remember these things coming up. Next weekend is going to be busy. And it's going to be a busy month. December the 10th, I think, is our Christmas dinner. We'll have church here, and then we'll go down to the Hidden Acres, and we'll have our catered dinner there. It'll be catered. You won't have to buy anything. It'll be catered for us, as it has been every year since. And we sure appreciate the Lord being able to let us to do that. So all minds clear. I know y'all didn't remember half of that, so we'll put it back up. But if there's a back there at the door, there's a sheet that'll tell you where to go this coming weekend. Good to have our visitor with us today. They come with Sister Mary. Good to have you with us. You've never been here before? Okay. Well, you're a visitor. Now, when you leave service and come back, you won't be you'll be just part of the family. Isn't that wonderful? You know that you're part of the family, just come one time. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to talk about the Son of Man a little more. This afternoon, we're going to get a little bit more into in-depth into the adoption and the placing part. But today, we're just going to kind of, this morning, we're going to kind of get everybody caught back up. So let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your presence, Lord, that we felt during the song service. Now, Lord, I pray that you would sanctify us all, Lord, the hearers and the speakers. Be with the sick ones, ones that are not here, Lord. We ask you to be with the missionaries on the foreign fields. Be with the ones, Lord, that can't get out, Lord, that are watching in online. Lord, I pray that you'd give them a special anointing also. I know they want to be here, Lord, but sometimes in the body, Lord, we have things that bother us, Lord, and I pray that you'd just help each one, Father. Just be with us now in the furtherment of this service. Sanctify us for this journey. Forgive us of our many faults and mistakes that we make, Lord. May we sit down just a few minutes and hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're on part 136. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word... I know y'all can't read that. Sorry, I'm trying to hurry up. It took too much time. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Is that better? Wait a minute. That's better. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 16:12 says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, as like Brother Vernon was talking about this past weekend, the continuity of the Word, it just continues to carry on. It doesn't have to carry on in one vessel. It carries on in several different vessels. Jesus knew he was leaving. He knew that they weren't understanding what he was saying. But he knew that when the Spirit of truth come and would enter them on the day of Pentecost, that Peter, James, and John would be the spokesman. Then it would go to Paul. Then it would go to Irenaeus and continue to this day right here. All right. This is Jesus speaking. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, what? He, the Holy Ghost, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Remember, he's talking through the bride and to the bride. And he will show you things to come. You may be seated. He'll show you revelation. That's what we're looking for, revelation. We live on revelation. We thrive on revelation. And even your new birth is a revelation. All right? So we're looking at the revelation that we are the sons and daughters of God. All right? Now, we know we can go into before the foundation of the world and all that, which is fine, but that's in the mind of God. We're right here today in flesh. We're human beings, and if we're not born again, we're lost. There's not an in-between, okay? All right, so Brother Bram says, when you must be born again, said you're still what you were until you're actually born again of the Spirit of God. In other words, those creeds doesn't change you. As Brother Bob said, you know, somebody's saying that you need to go to church, that's not going to change anybody. Because the same people keep staying out. So it's got to be God get a hold of you. So I pray that God gets a hold of all of us today. Amen. That he gets a hold of all of us, and he does a work, and he will convict us. And when he convicts us, you remember at your new birth, the preacher didn't convict you. The Holy Ghost convicted you and brought you to the altar. You say, oh, well, it was through a vessel. Sure, it was through a vessel of preaching and a vessel of bringing the anointing down and a vessel of opening up and saying, hey, you need to be born again. But it wasn't that preacher's voice that birthed you. It was God inside of you is what birthed you. Amen? When he said, you're a child of mine, I can tell you that all I want to. But that's not going to do you any good. Your mama, your daddy, your preacher, everybody, anybody can say, yeah, you're a child of God. But until God says you're a child of God, secondhand information. And it can be wrong. But not from God, it's not. So the new birth is an experience, something that takes place, or something that we go through that we understand in this church. It's justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost brings you to the new birth. Because you can, and yesterday I was thinking about something going on in the world and all, and I thought, Lord, you know, that's, no, it wasn't, it was this morning. I was thinking about, and it was anointed ones, and they're anointed with the true Holy Ghost. It's not, the Holy Ghost is not false. Never has been, never will be. But it can anoint you, and you're false. That's what we're living under now. But if you get the new birth in your soul, the Holy Ghost can't be leading you, and you be false.
That's right.
It's truth and truth.
Amen.
All right? Mechanics, dynamics. They all got to come together. You got to have two pieces to vulcanize. You got to have two pieces of rubber to vulcanize. All right? So the new birth is an experience, something that takes place. So it's not that thing that brings the new birth. In other words, come to church and the do's and don'ts that we talk about all the time. It's what I tell you, one brother said, and he's just plain as he could be. He said, you will not have to tell a Holy Ghost-filled person to go to church. You're not preaching to Holy Ghost-filled people that they don't go to church. They just ain't got the Holy Ghost. Well, you can be quiet if you want to, but this is the truth. How in the world are you going to sit home and the Holy Ghost inside of you says, I got to go hear what's going on. And be among a brother and sister and be among and be in a fellowship and be in a assemble yourself together. All right? And we can make all kind of excuses, but there is none. Now, Brother Brown tells us, he says, I hope the church, and we'll talk about this a little more this afternoon, because the Bible tells us that he is the head of the body of the church. All right? Well, now, that has to be separated because not all church is church. Not all church is bride. Come on. But we had a prophet come in the end time to what? Rightly divide the word of truth. This is truth. This is error. This is the church. This is the bride. He separated them out. All right? Because what? The word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Just like Brother Ram could stand and say, you're from so-and-so place, and you drive a red car, and you, the doctor had on a red coat. I mean, he just was so vivid. Why? Because it was a vision. He was watching television. All right? He was watching what was going on, and that was because the word of God had come to a prophet and had opened up that dimension. Well, I pray to God that God opens up a dimension in our life today. Not so much that I got to see what's in your life or what's in my life. Amen. That will determine itself, like Brother Bob was talking about. Keep watching the life. Keep watching what it produces. All right? Now, we have our ups and downs, and we can be critical and non-critical, but let's just what? Consider the end of your conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So now we see a church. We keep reading in the Bible about a church, but there's a prophet came in the end time. He said, now I'm going to call you bride on the first seal. When that first seal is getting ready to open, he sees where the white horse rider is. He sees us in the church. Huh? He sees us in the church. But he also sees it riding away from him in his revelation, the white horse rider. He said, here stands the lamb, and there goes the white horse rider. Well, what was riding off? The pretense of the church. The falseness of that denominational. Because he stands there one day and he says, now I know why I hate denominations. Because it's a Nicolaitan spirit. And God hates Nicolaitan spirit, so do we. All right? You know, denominational ideas can come in many forms. You can't say, well, the Baptist and the Methodist and the Pentecostal. All right? Look at some of their tendencies, and you see some of the tendencies trying to creep back into church. I'm going to preach anyway. But it has. We sit, we listen, and we go home, and we just keep going over and over again. And we bind the church. We bind the spirit of the church by the way we act and think. But there's a bride. She's without spot or wrinkle. She's going to be perfect. She's righteous. Just as righteous as he is. So never since Jesus Christ was on this earth has Satan had such a formidable opponent. He doesn't know what to do with us. Now there's times when he does. Hey, reach, take your finger and pinch yourself right here. Okay, the devil just pinched you on the hand. But he's got a formidable opponent inside. And now we're trying to work that thing out to where the cornerstone can become the headstone. Not just in a building, but in you. We're talking about me and you. We're not talking about the world. I'm like the Lord. I wish that all would be saved. Don't you look at people and say, oh man, if you could just get saved. Just get salvation. But God knows it will. He knows it won't. You just got to present it to him. Number one in what? In your life. So in 1965, Brother Brown on the rise of the sun, he said, there has been churches, brides. There has been brides. There's been brides. Listen, Jesus, Jehovah, was married to the Old Testament Jews. And we're going to read something here in just a few minutes where Jesus stands one day and he says, you had all this. The headstone is here. You rejected it, but I'm going to give it to a nation that'll receive it. And that's us, the Gentiles. He took it from the Jews and gave it to us. Praise God. We'll read it in a minute where Jesus was standing there telling them. In other words, I was married to you. Remember, we read it long when we first got started. He says, I was married to you, but you went whoring. In other words, what? You took a whore's forehead, or you took a denominational idea contrary to the word of God. All right? You know, people try to sit in church and bind church. That's a denominational spirit. When you bind the freedom of the ministry, you have a denominational spirit. All right? We need to get rid of that. But look, Brother Brown said, but there's got to come one. So he's honing it down. Just like that thing is being honed in me and you, the prophet of God is honing it down. He's a master builder. Remember, he types Zerubbabel in the Bible about building and all those things. He was a master builder. Elijah was a builder. Remember, they destroyed the whole tabernacle. Well, not the tabernacle, but the altar. He put them all back together. Then that's when the fire fell. All right? But it's got to come one, hallelujah. There's got to come a real bride. Yes. So then you've got now a false bride and a real bride. Because you're going to have Satan's bride. Oh, he's got a bride. Yeah. He just don't know how to get her to do things like he wants them done. Bless his heart. Listen, if you'll just break it all down, he has no control over nothing. Nothing. Listen, what's our greatest mountain? What's our greatest fear? Death. God allows you to die when he allows you to die, not when Satan says, no, I think I'm going to take him today. No, God said, no, hang on a minute. No, not today. I have a plan. I have a purpose. Amen. I have something to do with my children, and then maybe I'm going to take them home. See, that's the way I see it, and I've said it at many funerals, same way with, if you're a Holy Ghost-filled person today, I don't believe the death angel comes and picks you up. That's a death angel. Oh, well, brother, we die. No, the Bible says no, Christians can't die. They don't die. They just move into another place. I like what Brother Donnie Reagan, you know, he lost his daughter a couple of weeks ago, and he preached one sermon called Why, which was wonderful. And then he preached last week about an update on Erica, which is his daughter that passed away. He said, I want to let you know, since she's moved. Come on. Oh, right. So you can think about what went on in the sermon. She's moved. She's gone to another place. And it was wonderful. You ought to go see it sometime. He is a good minister. But there must come one that not only got the mechanics, but the dynamics, yes, makes the church live, move in the power of his resurrection until we come to that place. Look, until we come to that place, what good is it to polish the hubs? All right? What good is it to make that car look good if it ain't got anything in it to drive it? All right? So Hebrews 4:12, the Bible says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So the word of God is what's going to loose us. Yes. From our sins, or loose us from our ideas and from our thoughts. That's why the word of God has been disrespected and put out of the denominational world. They don't want God. Remember, he's outside trying to get in. Huh? That's what it says in our church age. Behold, I stand at the what? Door and knock. And if anyone will let me in other words, there's got to be somebody on this side of the door. And many people will not reach and get the doorknob and let him in. But we have, praise God. Amen. We have been given an entrance, as we were talking about the other day, an open door.
Yes.
It's all open now. There's nothing hid. Everything's out in the open. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, we see where the prophet of God was the only one that could pull that thing apart and show us because it was the mind of God.
Yes.
God wanted it because this was the Bible. The Bible had to be fulfilled. He had to tell us there's going to be a true bride. He had to tell us that the church was over here and the bride was over here. He had to tell us that he's going to send us a word of God to do something, not just say, well, I'm right and you're wrong. No, that ain't it. That's not it. even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and joint and marrow, your flesh, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we looked at the soul of man. The soul of man today is, if you're sitting here today, it's the real you. It's the part of you that most people can't, that nobody can see except what you display.
Amen.
You can hide things. You can put things over here. You can hide this. You can hide this. But that soul is what's going to stand at the day of judgment. If you have to stand at the day of judgment, that soul of you is going to stand at the day of judgment. Now, you're going to take your spirit and your flesh with you because you're one unit. Everybody with me? But if you got the soul of Almighty God, how are you going to be judged? How are you going? You're standing your judgment now. We have, as Brother Bob was talking about, we have separated ourselves. The Holy Ghost has separated us and asked us and not asked us, and probably I don't say demand, but he loves for us to live a separated life.
Yes, sir.
To where when we walk down the road, they say, and usually the world says, what's wrong with that person? We want to say what's right about it, but they want to say, what's wrong with that person? What's wrong with that sister? Oh, look old with her hair long. And hey, you know what? God loves it.
Amen.
If God loves it, I love it.
Amen.
All right? So your soul today is either faith or doubt. You're either born again or you're not born again. Everybody with me? All right? The spirit realm, though, has five senses: memory, reasoning, conscious effects, and imagination. That's where we have our problem.
That's
right. Even though your soul, as we were talking not too long ago, you know, if you're born again today, your soul don't sin. So the real you doesn't sin. But you see how strong that sin was in the garden from the memories and conscious effects and imagination, and then out into your flesh. You see how God had to separate that thing. But then he brings it back together and he says, the soul that sinneth will surely die. Not this. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. Not the spirit, the soul. God said, all souls are mine. He gives them, he takes them away. He's the only one that can't. Satan can't create, he can't take them away. God's the only one that can do it.
Absolutely.
Praise God, we serve a God that's in control.
Yes, sir.
Whether we think he's we're out of control, we praise God we have a God that's totally in control of everything. And sure, we can ask why, as Brother Donnie said, and I was preaching the other Wednesday night on you know, questioning God and questioning what's going on, and we saw that a prophet questioned God and got in trouble for doing that. But the providence of God, we know one thing's for sure. He cannot make a mistake. Any move he makes is the right move.
Amen.
So we must accept that.
Yes.
We must accept that and move on instead of having a pity party. Listen, I was looking at the 40th anniversary picture in there in the study, and there's six people. Now, there's more than that that's left the church, but there's six people that's physically passed away that been to this church since the 40th anniversary. Six people passed away, moved over in, you know, they don't live here anymore.
Right.
They live over another dimension. But you know what? What took them over there was what they heard here.
Amen.
And what they took in. That's why church is important. What you take in is what you're going to take over there.
Absolutely.
If you got animosity to a brother, you're not going to take it over there. You might go over in another place over here, but you're not going to go in that place.
Because
that's where your soul goes.
Yes.
Everybody with me?
Amen.
That's how hideous sin was when God had to separate that thing. He said, I'll put enmity. I'm going to put a division between. I can't even stand to see what y'all did, but I'm going to make a provision. I'm going to take a lamb. I'm going to kill it myself. Yeah, God killed a lamb. What do you think? Who do you think did that in the Bible? Well, your God don't have hands? My God's a human, if you don't mind me saying. He's not a clown, he's not a spook, he's not Casper the Friendly Ghost. He's a man, and he's way more real than we are, and he's way more solid than we are, and way more intelligent than we are. So let's trust in what he's done. Listen, as Brother Ernie Villanueva always said, he said, you got to plug yourself into the eternal. If you're born again today, you are plugged into that eternal, and you can't be unplugged. But you got it. When you get plugged in, you got to do what the current says.
Amen.
Turn the light on. Ephesians 1, verse 4 says, according as he has chosen us, we're going to read this afternoon a little bit different. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So in the mind of God, we were chosen of God. We were perfected in God. That Genesis 1:26, man never sinned. That's why when it comes to you, it's a new birth. It burns all that out and you don't have to stand judgment. You don't have to stand at the judgment bar. Praise God. That scared people to death. I heard a guy the other day, and he was a denominational guy, and he said, well, when I get to judgment, I hope I'm, X, Y, Z. I thought, man, I'd leave a denomination that told me I was going to have to go through the tribulation period and go stand before the white throne judgment. I'd leave them. Didn't you? You're sitting here today. You left it because of something. Must have been false doctrine. There's some good people out there, but listen, that system is rotten. God hates that thing. All right? We don't hate the people. But if you attach yourself to it, then you're part of it. So let's be a part of the eternal. We've attached ourselves to the eternal. All right? Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, where? To himself. Listen, if everything we do, if we get Jesus Christ does it in himself, that's where we're perfect. That's where we're without spot. That's where we're without wrinkle. Not in our own righteousness. Filthy rags. You ever took an old filthy rag? I found one the other day out in the yard. No, it was horrible. That's my and your righteousness to God. But Brother John, he took that rag. And one day he cleaned it up. He used the bleach of the Holy Ghost. And he cleaned that thing up, and now there ain't a spot nowhere. Praise God for that. Sorry, I was going to teach a little bit, but I'm preaching something. But look, also, we got to remember, too, that as we go through this plan of God, we have to know that we have to come to adoption because it's required in this age. Because look, having predestinated us, predetermined, predestiny determined. Why could he predestiny determine? Because he saw that there'd be a group of people here, and he'd have his word to connect to it. All right? See, we've got to know that, see, in Luther's day, he connected with the just shall live by faith. Now, he didn't connect with one God. He was Trinitarian. But we connect to that. That's why the prophet of God had to come, take all the loose ends and bring them back together. So having predestinated us, so we're predestinated unto what? Not just to get born again, but to be adopted.
Yes.
To be a son and daughter of God that can stand here one day, and as we'll read here maybe this afternoon, where Brother Ram said, you pray for the sick now. He said, you'll command it then.
Come on.
Oh, what? You'll command what? Yeah. But you know what? We got to command this guy first. This guy is my worst enemy. So your adoption is not your birth. Your adoption is your placing. But you've got to be born again so you can come into the line of adoption, because you can't be adopted without being born again.
Right.
All right? And what is adoption? We'll talk about this afternoon. I'll break it all down, how it was in the Old Testament and how it is in Israel now, called a bar mitzvah, and we'll see what that means. Because we got to talk about the placing. Your adoption is your placing.
Yes.
It's not the place you sit. Okay? Physically. But it's the place that you are at in the Word of God.
Yes.
It's the place that you're at in maturity.
Yes.
Or not.
Right.
We've been going to this church a long time. A lot of you have been going a long time, all your life. We've got to come to adoption. It's been preached 50 years ago, and it's still being preached now. We have got to come on speaking terms with God, speaking condition with God, to where He can use us. Use a powerful church. There may just be one. I contend this is it. If not, we need to go find it. I didn't get many amens out of that. But when you're born again of the Spirit of God, you're son of daughter of God. We know that, right? But we were predestinated. All right, so He separates it. We were predestinated to what? To adoption. All right, God doesn't want children. Sure, He loved the Pentecostal babbling babies, the ones that spoke in tongues and thought that was the Holy Ghost, and they'd have this gift over here, and even Brother Brian would be preaching, and somebody would jump up and speak in tongues. That's totally out of order.
Right.
But he allowed it to happen, and he kept telling the – now, he kept telling his home church, he said, hey, quit doing that. All right, right? He put everything in order. But it was babies, and Brother Brown knew it was babies. He knew he was talking to babies, somebody that didn't even know what he was talking about most of the time. Because remember, we'll read it where he said, it's not to you. It's not for you. So what is adoption? Let's go to Peter, because Peter talks about it. He said, if these things be in you and abound, what? These things. Be in you and abound. In other words, you use them. I like what Brother Aaron or somebody, he's got a quote that says, if you haven't used anything in 7 months or something, he said, you need to throw it away. Well, if you hadn't used these in 7 months, you better start praying. Because this is God in motion. This is God using us to do something. All right? He's trying to get us to listen to what he's saying. For if these being in you and abound, they make you. Peter, old rough Peter, the old fisherman Peter. Peter said, this will make you, that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord. Why we come to church if we don't want to be fruitful? Why we are Christian if we don't want to become fruitful? I think the Bible says show fruit. Meet for repentance. Show fruit. Listen, if you're not showing fruit, then your vine got cut down somewhere. Because if you put it in the ground and you give it the right nourishment and you keep it trimmed, come on somebody, it will produce fruit. It's just a law of production. But he that lacketh these things is blind. All right, you may be born again, but you're blind. You're still a baby. You know, babies may be able to see, but they're blind. What are they blind to? They're blind to that that's hot, don't touch it. They're blind to that they need to sit right here, and if they fall off, they're going to hurt their head. They're blind to that. You might be a Christian and function as a Christian, but you could be blind as a bat. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten. Sometimes we do. We forget that we were purged from these old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now, that's just as much a promise. That's thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Because God wrote it in the Bible. Everything is thus saith the Lord in the Bible. So through Peter, he says, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. Look, that entrance is this message of the hour. That entrance is what you stepped into because you opened the door and let Christ in. So there's an entrance ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now that's not a kingdom over there. What did he say? Your kingdom is within. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. 136 sermons. We're all a little slow. We're Southerners, but we're okay. Though you know them, look, though you know them and be established in present-day truth. So Matthew 17, verse 5, and we know that in the first part of Matthew, when Jesus went to the river and was baptized, there was a dove came down and there was a voice that said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Right? Didn't say hear ye him at that time. He had some growth to do. Because the Bible says he grew in grace and knowledge. The Bible said he had to have a mountain experience. He had to come to adoption. So now this is Matthew 17. He's up on top of the mountain. Behold, a voice come out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. In other words, I have identified where I am. Well, listen, God through a prophet identified that his bride is him.
Yes. Amen.
Not a second person. The bride is him.
Yes.
The voice of the bride and the voice of the bridegroom is the same.
Yes.
If it's not, you're not bride. Because the bridegroom's voice is always going to be the same. It's just the bride's voice has got to be the same as the bridegroom. Luke 9, verse 33 says, it came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us set up a Trinitarian doctrine. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Not knowing what he said. He got excited. He just blurted out. That's Peter, you know. The same guy that wrote about these. A little later when he got the Holy Ghost. He didn't have the Holy Ghost here. While he thus spake, God cut him off. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. Brother Brown did the same thing. He went, this is what I believe. He went up on the mountain and he was adopted. A cloud. There was a voice spoke through that cloud, said, "Go back to Jeffersonville. These seals will be given to you there." The seals weren't revealed to him in Tucson. They were revealed to him in Jeffersonville. All right. He said, "Go back, and these things will be made known to you." To me, that's when I believe that Brother Brown was adopted. And then he said, "Hear ye him." Because listen, then why not? Well, you say, well, how can you establish that? How many people preached the truth of the seals in 1963? That's what I thought. Nobody. Oh, Clarence Larkin, they say, they got that junk online now where Brother Brown stole it from Clarence Larkin. Clarence Larkin might have been a good man. He might have been a Holy Ghost-filled preacher, but he wasn't a prophet. He wasn't an identified church-age messenger in the Bible. And he just preached the seals and then went on. Brother Brown preached the seals, and I believe it opened up to us. It was for this bride. This end time bride. Not the one back there. This one. Because he says right here in questions and answers on the seals. Now this is, he's preached first seal, second seal, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth seals. He's preached sixth seal. He's getting ready to preach the seventh that afternoon or that evening. All right. So he has questions and answers. Because remember, always between a six and a seven, there's an interval. We'll preach on that maybe a little bit later. I know that you don't see it. Because, see, there was no one adopted during that time. Brother Branham is standing on a level that no one had stood on since that time of Christ. Right. Everybody with me? Right. I'm identifying where God is. Not that William Branham was God. No way. He's a sinner just like me and you. Born in sin, shaping in iniquity. Had to be born again. But he was a church-age messenger. He was identified in the Bible. And I don't care what man says. If the Bible said that's who it was, that's good enough for me. All right? But he said, "I know that you don't see it. I'm just positive you don't see it." Remember? "Tell this vision to no one until the Son of Man be risen again." I didn't read that, but Jesus said that going down the mountain. He said, "Look, hey, don't tell this to nobody until the Son of Man be risen again." Well, he rose the first time 2,000 years ago. When's he going to rise again? In the end time, in a bride, the headstone. Us! Yes. As being the collective body brings the headstone back. We'll get into that a little bit later. But I'm positive you don't see it. You say, "Brother Ram, that's a hard thing to say." I know it is, but look, let me just say this now. I suppose this is just tape for ourselves. Well, it went all over the world. But let me say this, that you don't get it. And you're not supposed to get it. And you're not supposed to get it. So he's not frustrated. Sure, he's frustrated in his humanity, but he's not frustrated that it's just going to be words just going to be thrown out somewhere. He knows it's the Word of God. The greatest thing since Jesus was on earth, he's fixing to open those seals. All right, back in, now he's preached six of them. He sees that it's the greatest ministry that he'd ever had, the most anointing he'd ever had. And they're just sitting there going, "Can I wear pantyhose? Can I wear pajamas to bed?" And several of the questions, two questions was on the seals. The rest of them were not. One of them was on water baptism. And you know what? Brother Branham, in his humanity, he probably was rolling his eyes. But in his pastoral work as a prophet, he answered it just like he answered it 10 years ago, 20 years ago. He answered it. He didn't say, like some of us, go, "Hey, you ought to know this by now." No, he took it and he answered it. About water baptism that he preached for years and years, and he answered the question, "What about water baptism?" And all the different things. So that's why he saw that they didn't get it. But look, he says, "Look, you're not supposed to get it, so don't try to interpret it." Man's tried to do that. Don't try to put your interpretation to it. You only get further away. That's what man's done. They've got further away from the Word of God by not being what? In the Word for their hour. As Brother Vernon was talking about, the continuity of the Word means that that Word is moving, and it's moving from dispensation to dispensation. This is now the dispensation to get out of here.
Yes.
This is a dispensation when the headstone will speak. It will speak through a bride.
Yes.
And it will not speak through one person.
Right.
We've had that one person.
Yes.
But it'll be a many-membered body. Yes. Somebody's going to catch it. It may not be but three people.
Amen.
Or four. Or two. But somebody's going to get this.
Yes.
Take my advice if you believe me now. If God has given me favor in your sight, and you know that them revelations are things, I've been here with you a long time. And it's always been right. And now to double prove it right, it hooks right in with the Word. So you know it's thus saith the Lord. That's exactly, it's proved to you. Now take my advice as your brother. Don't put your own interpretation to anything. You just go on, live a good. Now he didn't say that weren't Christians. He didn't say, well, bless God, you all lost. You ain't getting what I'm saying, so you're lost. No, they're Christians. They're Christians for a dispensation that the door or the book wasn't open to them. Don't put your own interpretation to anything. You just go on and live a good Christian life, because you'll only wind yourself away from the real thing when you do. So there must be a real thing. And they will wind themselves away from the real thing. All right? You'll only wind your way again away from the thing. And all of you are conscious and know that there's something mysterious happening, and it's happening, and I know what it is. In other words, the opening of the seals was the revelation that had been hid since Jesus left the earth. Now, I'm not saying that. It's the grace of God that lets me know what it is. It's something that's tremendous, and it's gone right now. And there's no way in the world for you to see it. But so help me with this Bible in my hand, I know what it is. It was for us. It was closed to them, open to us. Just like I tell you many times, some people, man told me one time, he said the seventh seal's not open. I said, okay, that's fine. To you. To you, it may not be open because you're confessing that it's not. But to me, it's open. All right? So the seventh seal is not open, unless you understand it. Hebrews 5, verse 10, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. I read that because that's what Brother Brown was telling those people. You're dull of hearing. But this is not for you. He's so gracious to say, look, this is not for you. In other words, it's not going to return void, though. It's going to accomplish. There's going to be a generation. How many of us were born in 1963 prior to? All right? It was for us. And all y'all that's born after. If not, it would have closed the book. The seal would have opened. They'd have took a rapture, and we'd have never been here. But that's not what God saw before the foundation of the world. He saw a group of people that would sit here. And even though they sit here and they do this and they try to understand what's going on, some of the young ones, you're still here.
Yes. Amen.
You're here listening.
Yes. Right.
And I believe the Spirit speaks to everybody individually at your own level. Because he will not leave you or forsake you. So he's going to talk to you in your terms if you'll listen.
Yes.
But remember, Paul's going to tell us here in a minute, for when the time we ought to be teachers, we have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. In other words, water baptism, no eternal hell, all these different things. But there is time for that. And we need to circle back sometime. Remember I told you, the Lord told me a couple years ago that he's not going to leave anybody behind that wants to catch up. So this is the catching up time. These past 2 years was a catching up time. If you didn't catch up in these last 2 years, then we're heading toward the coming of the Lord. So your gap is a lot close. Mine too. Our gap is a lot closer than it was 2 years ago.
Right.
All right? For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again would be the first principles, the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. In other words, he's sitting there looking at adults that should be adults, that should be eating meat, and they're drinking milk. That's what Brother Branham was doing. See, Paul and Brother Branham, if you took their life, remember I did that years and years and years ago, take Moses, Jesus, Paul, and Brother Branham, and you put their lives together, and pretty much they're the same.
Amen.
All right? Pretty much, I said. Moses had an experience with a burning bush.
Right.
Jesus had an experience. Paul had an experience on the Damascus Road. And Brother Brown had an experience with a voice talking to him up in a tree. There's a light hanging over him at his birth. I just pray there's a light inside of you that can understand it. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful. Now, it doesn't say you're lost. Like I said before, he didn't say those people were lost. They were unskillful. Listen, to be adopted, you have to be skillful. Because you can't say something amiss, because then you have so much power in your voice. Power without character. It's satanic. That's what we've been preaching on. The power's there. But get everything together before you speak, because what you say... For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Didn't say he wasn't born. He was a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use. Do we use the word of God we're given to its fullest extent? I want to ask you that today. I don't. And that don't mean we have to be God zombies. Do you understand what I mean? We're human beings. Right? We're human beings. But we should spend more time with the Lord than we do with Facebook and this book and that book. And nothing, listen, nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with anything, Harley, if you use it right. Because of communication, we all communicate through WhatsApp. Let's throw it away. No, brother, no, don't throw it away. But don't be sitting there back and forth for 3 or 4 hours with each other. Yeah, hello, somebody. Yeah, I'm not talking to anybody here. Facebook. All those books. Listen, they're here to stay. There's nothing you can do about it. Electronic. Everybody's going cashless now. You better learn how to use a debit card or a credit card. Because the hospital sent us a message the other day that cashless. You don't go up there and give them cash no more. Nope. And when you go to a restaurant and you pay with cash, they look at you cross-eyed. What's that? It's cash. We use it within little cards like this. But look. By reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, what's your senses? Memory, reasoning, conscious, affection, imagination. That's your reasoning factor. That's your senses that God works through and Satan works through both. That's the battleground. When Brother Brown preached the greatest battle ever fought, he wasn't talking about that it was locked up here in your brain. No, it was you. The spirit realm that encompasses your daily journey. If it wasn't for my memory, I'd be a lot better off. Hello, somebody. If I wasn't conscious of the evil that run through this head of mine, and I'm sorry, it only happens to me. So, he said, oh, don't miss this. After that son was adopted, see now, not before. After that son was adopted, his name on the checkbook was just as good as his daddy's. Now, when you're born again and you start as a newborn babe, God doesn't give you a checkbook blank.
That's right.
Power without character. I know you can't bankrupt heaven, but you could write some pretty big checks that you really shouldn't have wrote. But power with character, God hands you the checkbook and doesn't have any reservation with you using it.
Amen.
You say, in my humanity? No, your humanity has been taken away.
Amen.
You see, you just said we were human. You're still human. But we got to somewhere that got to conquer that memory. If we keep thinking about the stuff we used to do, come on, somebody. I thought when we got born again, that was thrown in the sea of forgetfulness and God don't remember it no more. Why keep bringing it back up to him? You're wasting his time and yours. That's why you got to put it down and say, I'm born again. This is the day, whatever happened back this way, if God thought enough of me to birth me into his body, then he thought enough of me to clear my slate from their back. Bob read it. Brother Bob read it. Look, whoremonger. He didn't just say, Now, you might have stole a little something from Walmart now, or you might put a little extra gas in the car that you really didn't need to. No, he said you were whoremongers.
Right.
Effeminate.
Right.
Bad stuff. Stuff you get put in jail for.
Yeah. Right.
Come on.
Right.
He said such were some of you.
Right.
But what? But you're washed.
Yes.
Sanctified.
Amen.
There's a way to get out of this.
Amen.
There's a way to get out of this.
Amen.
And it's the word of God for your day.
Amen.
They might have not, back in Luther's day, they couldn't get all the way out. That's what the prophet of God kept saying. They didn't. Nobody understood that. He said they couldn't get all the way out. Luther couldn't get all the way out. Get out of what? Get out of that denomination. Get out of that false teaching. He couldn't get all the way out. We are all the way out. If you'll accept it. There's where God's trying to get his church. Just say to this mountain, be moved, and it'll move. Authority. Sons of God. The whole creation is groaning and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, waiting to a spot to where that the sickness will be a arise, and it will be that way. The blind will receive their sight, deaf and dumb. We pray for them now, but then you'll command it. What are you quiet for? Can y'all say amen to that? Don't fear. I'm no longer a what? Slave to fear. I'm a child of God. The blind will receive their sight, deaf and dumb. We pray for them now, but then you'll command it. Didn't say these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall pray for the sick. He said they shall cast out devils. Not I will, they will. If you say to this mountain, not if I say. If you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart. You know, listen, that I know Brother Branham couldn't have lived this long because he'd have been like 100-something years old. But God took him the time he was supposed to take him, because remember, God's perfect. Did somebody say that not too long ago? God's perfect. His timing's perfect. He took that prophet off the scene, because if that prophet was here today, guess where we'd be? We'd be looking at the prophet. But now we look to Jesus Christ. That's who he introduced us to. John said, look, I'm nothing. Here's the one you need to look at. Like we were talking about the other day about church ages in the Old Testament. John was the last one of the church age. He was the hinge pin. He was the one that had the Old Testament and New Testament. John had the spirit of Elijah. Somebody say amen. So what did he do? He turned her heart back and introduced Christ. Yes. Then you start the new church ages, the church ages in the New Testament. You go all the way through at the very end. Who shows up? Elijah shows up again.
Amen.
And a little prophet that turns us back.
Hallelujah.
And says, that's him.
Yes.
She is, but then he brings it all back together and he says, she is him.
Amen.
Then it's not him over there. It's him here. But how can the church, the Pentecostal church, and the Methodist Baptist be adopted until they come to discipline? We've got to be disciplined first. God could not trust this power with the church. It's hard to tell what you would do. Power without character. All right? How could a father trust his business to a boy that might simply pollute his whole inheritance? He couldn't do it. The church has got to come to a place to where it's disciplined. God's on that work right now, discipline. Because, you know, listen, there's fathers can turn their businesses over to sons, and if you look in the world, usually it's a disaster. Seen it many times myself, that the son takes over for the father business, and it's a disaster. Why? They don't have the same ethics and all that stuff. I'm talking about in the world. But we bring it here and said, how can a father trust his business with a boy that might simply pollute his whole inheritance? He couldn't do that. The church has got to come to a place. So there's got to be, like I said, predetermined destiny of a group of people to be adopted. Can't get away from it, but you can plug yourself into it. All right. God's on that work right now. Discipline. That's why I say, and I agree, that we have had a pastor that has taught us adoption more than anybody I've ever heard in my life. So he's got us in a mindset of that. So let's carry on with it. All right? Let's carry on with it. Romans 8, verse 21. We'll stop right here. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Look, in bondage. In God, there is no bondage. Now, Paul was a prisoner of Christ, but he wasn't bound. You know, even in his incarceration, they let him move around. He wasn't bound up. He wrote many of his letters while he was sitting in prison. Maybe we ought to try that. Don't get in a real prison. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption and the glorious liberty of the what? The children of God. For we know, all right? We know. All right, so now stop right there. We know. We know all these things. Seals have been opened. Trumpets, vials, plagues, thunders, all the great mysteries of the Bible, books open. For we know, then we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together. Look what Paul said, until now. He brings it present day. But Paul was not predestinated to adoption. He preached about it. Told us that we were, but he never came to it that I understand that he came to adoption. All right? Now, he had authority. Sure he did. But to come to the end time adoption, because we are predestinated in the end time to come to adoption to get the people out of the grave. That's Paul number, Irenaeus, remember all that. Now watch. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. All right, we've got the first fruits, but you and I have the harvest time coming. We've had the latter rain, but we've got the harvest rain now that's going to what? Harvest a group of people off the face of the earth. Everybody with me? That's me and you. But you got to come to maturity. If I would have made corn this year and the deer hadn't destroyed it, it would have come to maturity and I'd have got it out of the garden. Not before. The deer thought before. We saw a bunch of them out in the field the other day. They took a picture and sent it to us. A bunch of them, 15 or 16 of them out there in the field. I said, there goes my garden. I'll get one or two of them. We'll figure out a way to get that. And I'll get some of my garden back. It'll be strong meat. And not only they, but ourselves also. Paul said, all right, not only they, but us, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves. How many times do you say, God, get me out of this? Get me out of this. Look, waiting for the adoption to wit. Now that word wit begins a word called witness. So to wit, or to see, or to witness the redemption of our body. We will see someone come to that. Paul did not. Irenaeus did not. Brother Branham did not. So who's it following? Another generation? Another church age? Another prophet? The only next prophet that comes, you're not going to hear him. If you hear him, you miss the rapture. Because he's going to Israel. You see all that working over there? You see that big soup pot? They're stirring that big soup pot up. But I'll guarantee you there's two witnesses over there right now. I say in the name of the Lord, they're there. Don't know where they're at, but they're there. Because it's time for us to get out of here. And when we do, they can't be little babies. They got to be mature themselves in whatever they're in, the Orthodox or wherever they are. They may be fighting right now. But guess what? They can't die. They just don't know that yet. But once they do, they'll know they've got 1,260 days to preach the gospel to the Jews. Take out 144,000 and two and take a rapture. But you and I, that's not to us. Like I said before, I'll read it. Maybe I'll read it later on tonight or this afternoon, where the Lord stands up and he says, look, he said, let me see if I can find it. We was talking about the law and the schoolmaster. We talked about this. I'll find it this afternoon. Come on, musicians. But Jesus stood and he told him, he said, look, he said, just like Brother Branham, he said, look, this is not for you. This is going to be passed to another group of people who will, in other words, it wasn't for the Jews. This is not for the Jewish people. This is for Gentiles. The Gentile dispensation started on the day of Pentecost and will end with us leaving this earth. And all the Gentiles before, they some Jews included, but all Gentiles before are going to go out of here, and God's going to come back down and speak to the Jews through two prophets. We know that, and we see that in the Bible. So God bless you. Let's stand to our feet. And I'll read it this afternoon because I know I got it in my notes. Oh, here, let me read it right here. Jesus said unto them, this is Matthew 21, verse 42. We'll read this again this afternoon. Jesus said unto them, did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. So he became the head of the corner down at the bottom. Cornerstone. That's not the cornerstone. That's headstone. Cornerstone. We'll talk about this afternoon. The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. Yes. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. Mm-hmm. Who's he talking to? Jews.
That's right.
The kingdom of God will be taken from you, denomination, and given to a nation.
Yes.
Us.
Yes.
A nation. Not a nation over here or America or... No. You and I.
Yes.
Amen.
A royal priesthood.
Amen.
A wonderful... A nation of God. It'll be taken from you.
Uh-huh.
You're not getting it. It's not for you.
Right.
That was Jesus Christ speaking to those people through a prophet. Same as he spoke to these people. It shall be taken from you and given to a nation, look, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. I'll explain that this afternoon, but on whomsoever it shall fall. Because remember, if you fall on a stone, it's one thing. If the stone falls on you, it's another. Everybody with me? But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Let's sing a song. If you have a need.
Oh, it's a highway to heaven. Can't walk up there, but the pure in heart, it's a highway to heaven. When walking up the King's highway, oh, if you're not walking, start while I'm talking. Walking up the King's highway. Beside me, his love to guide me.
What is his love? It's the word. That is his love to me and you.
Highway to heaven. None can walk up there, but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's highway. beside me, his love to guide me. I'm walking up the King's high.